Hello and welcome to this episode of In Conversation with by Kangaroo Minds. I'm Vedika and today we have with us Sandeep Kaur. Sandeep is the chairperson and board member of Aching Arms, a charity which provides support after pregnancy and baby loss. Sandeep has been an advocate for raising awareness for stillbirth and baby loss after her own experience of giving birth to her stillborn baby boy in September 2014. Sandeep is also a seasoned business executive, having worked with several multinationals in senior leadership roles. She works across her corporate network in improving corporate policies and practices towards pregnancy loss. She is also an active contributor to various publications on topics that are close to her heart. Her piece in the Huffington Post about baby loss has been widely read and circulated. Sandeep now lives in London with her husband, her two baby boys, aged 11 and 6, and their angel, who would have been 8 this year, continues to live in their hearts. Before we begin our conversation today, which will center around how we can all work towards ending the silence around baby loss and pregnancy loss, we would like to put out a trigger warning for our audiences. If at any point during this conversation you find yourself feeling triggered or distressed, we urge you to take a step back and look after yourself. Should you need any additional support resources, you can also find them on our website. And now, without taking up much time, let's hear more from Sandeep. Sandeep, welcome to the episode. It's so lovely to have you with us here today.
Hi, Vedika. It's good to be with you.
You know, Sandeep, I mean, you know, before we get into talking more around the more nuanced aspects of this conversation, I'm just wondering if you could throw some more light for our audiences around the key concepts, you know, such as baby loss, pregnancy loss, a miscarriage, as well as stillbirth.
Sure. So these terminologies of baby loss, pregnancy loss are often used interchangeably. And the definitions from a medical perspective often vary by different countries as well. But generally, there are a few key terms that are important for everybody to understand. Miscarriage is generally talked about that, which is a loss of a baby before 24 weeks of gestation. Early miscarriage is referred to when a baby is lost at before 12 weeks of gestation. Late miscarriage is referred to 12 to 24 weeks of gestation. And after completing 24 weeks of gestation, if a baby dies, it's referred to as stillbirth. Now, as I said, some of these definitions vary by country and different medical practices, but it's important to have that reference point for terminology purposes.
Right. And can you just give us a little bit more in terms of, you know, baby loss as well as pregnancy loss, you know, just for people who are not very aware of the distinction between these two concepts?
You know, again, these are often used interchangeably. Baby loss also includes neonatal deaths, which are defined as a baby being born alive but dying within 28 days of being born. The term baby loss can also include loss before a baby is born. So it can include pregnancy loss as well. So while there are differences in the technical terms, in popular terminology, these terms tend to get be used interchangeably as well.
So, you know, just now, like, you know, Sandeep, why do you think that it's important that we have conversations around baby loss as well as pregnancy loss?
You know, baby loss affects a lot of people. The statistics on this are just simply staggering, which often we don't realize and is not talked about enough. We were just going through some of the definitions. And if we look at medical journals around the world, about 10 to 20% of pregnancies end in a miscarriage. The rate of stillbirth is generally in developed countries around 1 in 200 or 1 in 300 and much higher in developing and impoverished countries. So if you think about it from a personal perspective, most of us would know somebody who has been affected by pregnancy loss or baby loss. And yet the conversation on pregnancy loss and baby loss is quite taboo in popular culture. It's a very silent tragedy. So what happens then is that when somebody goes through a baby loss, they are left to deal with it on their own. It's a bereavement, it's a death. And then in the context of not getting any support from people who are around you, your extended family, your loved ones, friends, workplace colleagues, it becomes a really isolating experience for those who are affected, which then leads to a lot of misconceptions around pregnancy loss, which then leads to more isolation. So there is a vicious cycle that starts to get formed. And I believe that that vicious cycle will get broken if we create more awareness about pregnancy loss and about baby loss. All of us, as I said, will know somebody who's been affected by this. So the more we know about it, the more awareness there is, we can all play our small part in making lives better and providing comfort to those who are affected.
You know, Sandeep, you've been associated with aching arms for a long time, and you know, this is a cause which is personally very close to you as well. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, the role that aching arm plays in not just supporting people who've, you know, been through baby loss or pregnancy loss, but also in terms of normalizing these conversations?
Yeah. So baby loss, as I said, is a really, is still a fairly taboo topic in social culture. And what Aching Arms does is our role as a charity is to provide comfort to parents who have been affected by baby loss at any point in the gestation, from the very early time in their pregnancy to stillbirth and to neonatal death. And at the very heart of Aching Arms is a bear. So if you see that little bear behind me, that bear is given from one family that has gone through baby loss to another as a gift. And what it does is that it makes the family that is affected realize that they're not alone. There are others who have gone through that experience. So it takes away some of that isolation that comes with losing a baby, makes you understand that there are other people who have gone through this journey, and acts as that comfort, which is much needed during this, you know, time of deep grief and distress. The other thing is, you know, why we called it Aching Arms is because there is, in fact, evidence and science behind the fact that when a mother comes home without a baby, her arms physically ache, because she's yearning for to hold a baby in her arm. There is physical, real pain. And the name Aching Arms reflects that. So the bear that we give is a symbol that she can hold in her arms when they're aching, something physical like a comforter to hold. And that is really at the heart of Aching Arms, where our role as a charity is to enable and facilitate that bear getting passed on from one family to another as a symbol of comfort, as a symbol of comfort for the mother and the family that is affected. And also something, a physical object, you know, the baby that's gone is very deeply special to the family that has lost that much loved child. And when you walk out of the hospital, when the family is walking out of the hospital after losing the baby, they get a lot of paperwork and a lot of documentation, but the family never wants to look at that. Whereas a bear is something that is a physical object. It's normalized in a household. You can put it anywhere in the house without getting sort of intrusive and probing question. And if somebody does ask, it enables a conversation, which parents are often very willing to have. So our role, therefore, as a charity is to work across families who have been affected by baby loss at various stations and provide comfort during their time of, you know, grief and distress.
So, you know, Sandeep, you touched upon the aspect of grief. And, you know, can you throw a little bit of light around, you know, what does that grief look like for someone who's lost a baby or a pregnancy?
Grief is a very personal journey, no matter what sort of bereavement it is. You know, I really like this quote by author Joan Didion, which says that grief, when it comes, it's nothing like what you expect it to be. And I think that is really true. There is a lot that's written about and research done on different phases of grief. And all of that is very valid when someone experiences baby loss. You started off in my introduction talking about, you know, how I got into participating in this conversation around baby loss after my own experience of losing my baby when I was 34 weeks pregnant. And you know, I had had a healthy pregnancy. I had a happy, healthy three-year-old before that. So it was a very normal pregnancy. I went into the hospital at 34 weeks, what I thought would be a very routine checkup. So when the doctor told me that your baby has died, I didn't understand it. I didn't know what had happened, because I was, even though I had gone through a pregnancy before and I consider myself an informed individual, I thought that once you're done with your second scan at 20 weeks, the next milestone is labor and your baby home. I didn't even know that there was a possibility of losing a child at that late stage in the pregnancy. So the days and weeks that followed after that were a lot of unreal scenarios that I didn't know existed, like giving birth to a dead baby, making arrangements for a funeral, looking for a reason why that had happened, autopsy. And the reason I mention all that is that when a parent and a family who's going through baby loss, in their early days of experiencing that, they are not just going through grief, they are going through a whole range of complex emotions. They're going through confusion. They're trying to find answers for what happened, which they often may never get, because a lot of pregnancy loss still remains unexplained. They're going through feelings of failure, of guilt, of shame. And that is a very unique aspect to the grief that is associated with baby loss. And as I said earlier, because people around you at that time are often shying away from talking to you about this topic, there is an incredible sense of isolation. And that sense of isolation is also a very unusual part of grief, because when we experience other bereavement, when somebody who we love dies, a friend or a family member, there are milestones and ceremonies where we recognize the person who's died, where we remember them, we talk about them, we tell their stories. And while those milestones are painful, they're also very healing. When a family is going through grief associated with baby loss, those milestones often don't exist. And if they do, they're only recognized by that family. So that is how a grief for a bereaved parent is for pregnancy loss.
You know, one thing I've noticed, you know, you've mentioned, and, you know, we've spoken about previously as well, is, you know, how can we make these conversations around, you know, baby loss and pregnancy loss more inclusive, you know, to not just include the mothers, but to also include, you know, fathers and grandparents and siblings, and also other family members who are also coping with this loss.
Yeah. You know, when a live baby is born, that baby is not just the mothers or the fathers, that baby is also the siblings, the grandparents, the aunts and the uncles. And I think there is a same sense of loss when a baby dies. Mm-hmm. And there are many others. Obviously, the mother has physically carried the baby and she's deeply affected by it. The partner is deeply affected by it. But there is a whole circle of people that we live around, and each one of them is affected by that loss in a very different way. A grandparent is seeing their child suffer through this pain, and they're also experiencing loss of their grandchild. A sibling was looking forward to a new member of the family coming in. And for a young child, that might be the first time they're experiencing a death. So there are many, many people who get affected when a baby is lost. And the conversation, therefore, needs to include everyone. Everybody's affected differently. Everybody is also affected at different times. There is now an increasing amount of conversation in Aching Arms. We're trying to promote that is about including fathers in the conversation, because fathers tend to take on the role of you know, being the strong one, looking after the family, you know, looking after the household and administrative side of things, and have to suppress their grief, which is leading to a whole range of mental health issues. So the conversation about baby loss, it needs to be normalized. It needs to be more front and center in our culture, and it needs to include everybody within the family, within the close set of circle of the baby that has sadly died, to include every relationship that got affected by that death.
Right. You know, Sandeep, you touched upon mental health while we were talking right now. And, you know, can you throw a little bit of light on, you know, what are the mental health implications which stem from, you know, either the grief or just the loss of a baby or a pregnancy?
Yeah, you know, now there is clear research that shows that women who have gone through a pregnancy loss are a lot more susceptible to mental health issues, including post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, anxiety. And in the short term, but also in the long term, a lot of it comes from the fact that culturally we are, and even medically in many parts of the world, we are not yet set up to handle a baby loss. Very often a mother gives birth to a dead baby in a ward where healthy babies are being born, hearing the cries of other babies next to her, seeing families, happy families take home a healthy baby. And those images have a lasting impact on the mother's mental health. And then when she goes back home, as we talked about, empty arms, aching arms, not being able to talk to anyone about it, people often being awkward about that situation. A lot of that then accumulates into very deep-rooted traumatic issues, and that can lead to long-term challenges like depression. So what's important is to recognize what is the role of everybody around the family and the mother who's lost the baby, the immediate medical practitioners, the friends and family, the workplace. There is still a lot of work that needs to happen on workplace, recognizing that a pregnancy loss it comes with a whole range of challenges physically and mentally to the family and to the mother. There is now, as I said, a lot of research that backs it. And at Aching Arms as well, we are trying to support workplaces, families, medical members of the medical community to be more aware of not just the short term, but the long term benefits that come with giving support to the families at the right time.
Right. You know, Sandeep, just one thing, you know, when we're having so many more conversations now around this space, you know, and I think Aching Arms has been so involved in, you know, normalizing these conversations to a great extent. But unfortunately, this hasn't been the case for a long time. But baby loss and pregnancy loss is not something new. You know, people have struggled with it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in your opinion, you know, can you throw some light on, you know, the impact on individuals who might have been through this loss earlier, who may have been dealing with, you know, suppressed grief or decentralized grief, who might now find themselves triggered and, you know, it as if their grief has just been, you know, reopened up.
You know, Vedika, you're absolutely right. Babies have been being born from the beginning of humanity, and sadly, they have also been dying for a very long time. I know my own grandmother lost more than one babies during childbirth. And in fact, in previous years, where medical advancements weren't quite at the stage where they are now, the rates were a lot worse. So there are many families and women who are now in their later years, in their 80s and 90s and beyond, and are hearing about the conversation on baby loss, whether it's within their own family and network, in the public domain, or during events like Baby Loss Awareness Week, and are recognizing that they have somewhere suppressed the memory of their own grief that they went through many decades back. I was recently talking to a woman who's now a great grandmother, and she was sharing the story of her loss 50 years back when she lost her baby boy 50 years back and was not even given a chance to have a look at the baby. She doesn't know what the baby looked like. She didn't get a chance to hold him, and she wasn't given the information on how the funeral etc. happened. So think about the impact that has to a woman. And not only that, then she's expected to get on with her life straight away, often encouraged to have another baby straight away, and then, you know, go through decades of her life. And now 50 years later, she's taking a pause and reflecting and you know, realizing how deep rooted that grief is. So we are recognizing that at Aching Arms, socially, there is a bit more awareness around it. Suppressed grief has a very different manifestation, needs to be handled in a very different and very professional way. We are creating an awareness about it, but also encouraging families and women who have experienced that loss decades back to come out and ask for help. You know, it's only by asking for help, talking to the right professionals, that they will find the comfort that now exists, because there are professionals who have the ability to have that conversation, help them work through that grief. But it will only be done if everybody around them, the women and families themselves, but everybody around them encourages them to come out and have those conversations.
No, I think that's really interesting, you know, because as you said, like, obviously not only has medical science evolved, but also our understanding around how we can have these conversations has changed over time. And, you know, there might be families where, as you said, like, you know, for instance, the example that you gave of someone you spoke to who's now a great grandmother, you know, exploring this grief after 50 years, she may have never spoken about it. So there will be generations of her family who may not even know, you know, that they might have lost a sibling or, you know, an elderly relative at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, as you said, it's also about bringing the entire family together in having these conversations.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, moving forward, Sandeep, you know, in your opinion, what are some misconceptions that you've seen around grief, especially when it comes to, you know, baby loss and pregnancy loss? Because you did throw light and, you know, you spoke about the fact that this grief is like no other. So, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes as such, we find it very difficult to understand grief. And, you know, how is it, what are some misconceptions that you've seen in this space?
So the first one is, as I said, is that a baby loss, a pregnancy loss is often not even considered a death. So the grief is simply misunderstood. As I said, if we think about other bereavement, there are milestones and ceremonies where we talk about the person who's deceased and, you know, find ways to heal. With pregnancy loss, those often don't exist. Another misconception is that when parents who have been bereaved have another baby, all is forgotten. It's not true. Each child is unique. Each child is special to a parent, and anybody who's a parent will recognize that one child is different from the other and they're not replaceable.
Mm-hmm.
After my own experience of losing my little boy 8 years back, I have had the fortune to have another little boy who's now six. And you know, I am still to this day told, oh, that's all in the past. Now you have a happy, healthy baby. And I, much as I'm grateful for having a happy, healthy baby that was lost. So there is that real misconception that if another baby is born after, all is forgotten. That isn't true. Another misconception that you touched on, a baby is a loss for an entire family. It's lost for grandparents, for the siblings, and, you know, aunts and uncles and everybody who was, you know, dearly looking forward to having that baby in their lives. And everybody is affected by it. Everybody has that grief, and that grief is very valid and can manifest itself in very different ways. And I think finally, another misconception with baby loss in particular is that over time, it goes away. Time is a healer. Time is a healer for any grief, and it helps you find a way to accept what you have experienced. but it doesn't take away the grief. You find a way to deal with it and you find a way to accept it as a part of your life. Every grief is a journey and baby loss is a journey too. It doesn't go away. We just spoke about women who've had and families who've had baby loss several decades before and are still feeling those aching arms. So, you know, that misconception that time heals and time, I think time does heal, but time doesn't take away the grief of having lost a baby.
So, you know, Sandeep, you've worked across several cultures as well, and, you know, you have that experience of having these conversations with people from varied backgrounds. So in your experience, have you noticed any cultural differences, you know, around the nature of these conversations or just the way, you know, baby loss and pregnancy loss is spoken about or handled across different cultures?
Cultural differences play a really big part in how baby loss is accepted, talked about, and handled in different cultures. I grew up in India. I lived in the US for several years, and now I live in the UK. So I have an appreciation for three different cultures around the world. And I see that firsthand, that how baby loss is spoken about and handled across just these three different cultures is completely different. And then if you expand that to other parts of the world, other cultures, religions, it is very nuanced across those different geographical and cultural aspects. It is also linked to how grief is handled, how mental health is handled in these different cultures. What is the status of women in these cultures has a really big role to play. You know, the common fact across these differences is that any mother, any family, parents are deeply affected by this grief. It's a death, it's a grief, it's a journey. And that is common as humans across different cultures. The differences come from externalities and external cultural contexts. And some countries are further ahead in understanding and appreciation of baby loss, which then is really important at a human level, but it's also really important at a policy level, because there is the more appreciation there is of you know, baby loss, it manifests in itself into how workplaces recognize it, how workplaces give time off to the women and the families and partners who are affected, how medical staff is trained on baby loss and how that affects their long-term and short-term mental health, as we just spoke about. You know, what I would say to that is that countries and cultures where it is a much bigger taboo have a lot to learn from other parts of the world where it is starting to slowly get normalized. And any role that we as individuals can play, because we work and live across a global world now, and organizations and charities like Aching Arms and Kangaroo Minds can play, is a step in the right direction to bringing those cultures and countries that are still really, really far behind into being more active participants into this conversation.
Right. You know, I'm going to come back to this aspect that you mentioned about the role of individuals a little later, but to touch upon something that you mentioned, which was, you know, that in terms of a baby loss or a pregnancy loss, besides grief, there's a whole range of emotions that an individual might be navigating, you know, which could be shame, there's confusion, you know, and there's this sort of emptiness as well. So can you throw a little bit of light on, you know, some of these emotions and how, you know, individuals can better navigate these feelings?
I mean, it's a very complex set of emotions, and having experienced it myself, now being aware of the space through Aching Arms and my work across other organizations, I still don't think I have a full appreciation of the complexity of it. And you know, grief comes in waves, they say, and to this day, I feel those waves coming in when I personally find it hard to navigate that day. Milestones are really hard. Festivals are really hard. Events like Mother's Day, you know, those are really hard. So in terms of navigating those different complex emotions, I think the first thing is there is now in many parts of the world help available. There are professionals who can help you navigate those complex emotions. We don't have to do that on our own. A bereaved parent, a bereaved family is dealing with a lot as it is. They shouldn't have to find a way to to be able to look for resources and try and test that on themselves. There are professionals who are expert, who have dealt with these types of scenarios, who have the ability medically and at a human level to be able to give you those tools and guidance that's required. I think that's the first thing, and that's foremost. And therefore, I encourage anybody who's dealing with baby loss, grief, whether it's an immediate grief or a long ago grief, to ask for, look for help. And charities like Aching Arms, we provide some of that support ourselves, but we also guide our community to other charities that might be able to provide that. So that is the first and foremost. The second thing I think is the individual responsibility that we have is to look out for others who we think might be in that same position. And that doesn't mean that somebody who has just recently lost a baby. It could be somebody who lost a baby a long time back. And you see a manifestation of that trigger through a conversation, recognizing that, talking to them about it, acknowledging that. I think acknowledgement is huge, because acknowledging that to somebody is the first point of a path to a conversation, which can then be a path to comfort. It is really, really important. When I was going through my own journey in the early days of being bereaved, one of my work colleagues sent me an email and said, it was Christmas, and she said, I am thinking about your baby and I lit a candle for your baby at church today. I can't tell you how healing it was for me, how comforting it was for me. A small act of kindness goes a really long way. So part of it is no doubt medical support and human counseling support that a bereaved parent needs. Another part that every individual can play is to be aware of it, but understand that we're all in this together. There is everybody around us, knows somebody who's affected by it, and trying to find small ways in which we can support each other.
So, in terms of the support, sometimes, we may not know what to say or what to do. So can you tell us a little bit on, as individuals who may not be trained mental health professionals, how can they be more supporting to someone who's grieving? And, maybe you can even throw some light on, phrases which are best avoided. Because, as you mentioned, when we talk about, as if you had another baby and that's going to take away, or, it's going to wipe out your loss, but that's not really the case. But a lot of times we hear those, at least based statements as well.
I think, like with any grief, being aware of that is the first step. There are a lot of resources that are available online these days through various charities, where some basic guidance on what should and shouldn't be said is very easily accessible these days. So I would highly encourage anybody who is struggling with that to look for some of that guidance, and look for that guidance through charities in particular who are focused on baby loss, because that is a very specific type of grief, as we spoke about. I think in terms of the do's, the one thing I do want to say is that I know many parents now who are bereaved, who have experienced this pregnancy loss, baby loss. And I think I speak on behalf of everyone where I say that acknowledgement of their baby is the single biggest thing you can do. That baby is still a part of their lives. The baby will always be a part of their lives, will always be remembered. And while that is true for them as an individual and as a family, it is always appreciated. It's very comforting when somebody else recognizes your baby. So often, as we spoke earlier, there is a lot of misconception around it. People are very awkward about this topic. They often don't want to say anything, so they stay silent. And I understand that. It's not coming from a lack of empathy. It's just coming from a lack of awareness and education on what to say. I would say, do acknowledge the baby. Do acknowledge that baby. Acknowledge that in a way I just talked about my colleague sending me an email saying, I lit a candle for your baby. Remembering them on their milestones like birthdays and Christmas and festivals. They are a part of our families, and we recognize all members of the family at these occasions, and so should our babies who are not here. So I think that is the, if I leave, you know, those who are hearing this with one thing, it is that acknowledge that baby, acknowledge it to the parents, acknowledge it to the family. It's very comforting to hear about the baby. If parents are comfortable and have a name that they have shared with you, use the baby's name. It's immensely powerful and it's immensely comforting. You know, no family or parent wants the memory of their baby to go away or to be lost. So the recognition of that that baby and their name and their, you know, that is something I would definitely encourage everybody to do. And then in terms of don'ts, as I said, it can be a rather long list, and it's also very different based on the family that is bereaved. It can be very different based on cultural context. But some things that should, those at least based statement, at least you have another child, at least you are young, at least you can try again. You know, grief is an isolated experience. Whatever happens before or whatever happens after does not reduce the pain. And I think that should not be trivialized for any grief. It should definitely not be trivialized for a baby loss. And the final thing I would say is that a baby loss is a death. We are all as humans attuned instinctively to deal with a death. We know that when we meet somebody who has had a bereavement in the family, when a friend or a family member dies, we know how to engage in that experience. A baby loss is very similar. So find those instincts that we know that we have for a death and for a bereavement, and use those instincts for a baby loss, because that experience is exactly the same.
Right. And you know, Sandeep, coming to families and loved ones, you know, who've lost a baby or a pregnancy, how do you think they can, you know, can you give some suggestions maybe on how they can honor the memory of their baby?
Yeah, that's a really beautiful question. In you know, honoring the baby's memory is really important to the parents, to the family. And again, it is a very personal experience. It is like with anything, you know, we all celebrate festivals and milestones differently based on our own preferences. So it's a very personal experience. I know parents and families who find comfort in honoring their baby through a community experience. So they would organize things like community walks. They would organize, they would sometimes organize a fundraise, which brings people together, like a tea party. There are families and individuals who I know channel that through charity-based experiences, raising funds, also channeling that through physical experiences like running marathons or, you know, doing something physically really challenging to honor their baby, because they feel like that experience is related to their baby. And they're also challenging themselves to do something in the honor of the baby, that their baby. And then I think there are individuals and families who honor the memory in a way which is based on random acts of kindness. So last year at Christmas, you know, when we were sort of still coming out of COVID, I went for a walk just the day before Christmas in our local park. And I parked my car just outside in the parking area and then went into the wilderness. I came back, and there was a candy cane on the windshield of my car. And that candy cane said, in the memory of our little boy who isn't here to celebrate Christmas with us. And, you know, I didn't know who that came from. There was no name with it, but there was a sweet little candy cane, which my two boys split and enjoyed. But it was a way for someone to honor the memory at Christmas of their beloved baby. They didn't know I'm a bereaved parent. Those candy canes were there on all the cars that were in that parking lot. And I found that was such a beautiful, sweet way to honor the memory of their little baby, and brought joy to so many other little kids around. So there are many ways in which you can honor the baby. It is very personal to your own individual preference. And that is the real thing. You have to find what is authentic to you, what you get joy out of, what makes you happy at a human level, and finding that as a way to honor the memory of your baby.
So, you know, Sandeep, to wrap up the entire conversation that we've had today, and I think, you know, you've shared some really interesting insights, and I'm sure it's going to really help, you know, not just someone who's struggling, but also for, you know, everyone around them. As you said, it's about everyone coming together and, you know, supporting bereaved parents, bereaved families, you know, in this loss. But what would be some parting advice that, you know, you would give someone who might be struggling right now?
My two pieces of advice are, number one, seek help. We live in a time where no matter where in the world we live, there is help available. No matter which part of the world you live in, some have more and some have less. Some may be available at your doorstep. In other places, you might have to go far away, or it might be available online, but there is help available. There are people around the world who are keen and eager to support others in giving them that comfort. Nobody needs to go through this journey themselves. It is hard as it is, and you know, look for the way in which it can be made. You can seek and find comfort. And that's my first piece of advice, whether that is through a formal counseling experience, which personally I went through and I found a great deal of comfort out of, or it's through talking to a charity or talking to a friend or a loved one. Find somebody and be able to who can be able to help you navigate that journey better. The second piece of advice I have is to those who are around the person or the family, is to acknowledge the baby. I cannot stress that enough. I think I've said that several times in our conversation already. That baby who is gone is a real member of the family, is remembered every single day in some way or the other. And as a loved member of that family, is somebody who cares about the mother or the family who's lost that baby, acknowledge that. Acknowledge that on a milestone, acknowledge that on their birthday, acknowledge that at Christmas or Diwali or whatever festival you celebrate. It is a real comforting experience for those who have been bereaved.
Right. No, thank you so much, you know, Sandeep, for being with us, for sharing your own experience, but also all your insights around, you know, this space. And I think it's really going to help a lot of people. And, you know, lastly, for anyone who's watching or listening to this today, if you're having a hard time, you know, with your mental health, as Sandeep also said, please know that there is help out there and it gets better. So please reach out, because you're not alone and you don't have to go through this alone. So till next time, please stay well and stay healthy. Thank you.